Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you open our eyes, enlighten us, and fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we understand what you have to say to us and empower us to be a doer of your word. And we don't want to deceive ourselves and just hear what you have to say to us. We want to put it into practice. We want to be blessed just like the way you blessed for Joseph. And I pray that you be with us tonight as we study your word and open our eyes that we can see the wonderful blessing that you have in store for each and every one of us, not only for Joseph in those days and also for us in today's days as we follow his very footstep, and that we will be blessed by you, for you are impartial God. You do not show favoritism as we follow his example and how you bless him. In those days, you will bless us in today's days. And I pray that you enable us to put what we learn into practice. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. So, what do I say? There's 3 points that I'm going to talk about in Genesis chapter 50. First of all, point number one, I say, Joseph loved his father by faith. And how did he love his father? He honored him and obeyed his command. Okay? That is true love. Point number two, Joseph not only loved his father, Joseph loved his brothers by faith. Joseph is a man of love. Joseph is a man of faith. Point number three, Joseph not only loved his father, he loved his brothers, he also loved his descendants by faith. It's amazing, you know, other than Genesis chapter 38, starting from Genesis 37, all the way to 50, talk about Joseph. Except 49. 49 is the blessing of his father to the 12 tribe of Israel. Remember that? If Moses devoted so much of his writing, there's only 50 chapters in the book of Genesis. Starting 37 to 50, close to what? 13 chapters, right? 13 chapters, or 50 chapters, talk about Joseph. He must be an important man, right? There's something that he wants us to learn from Joseph. If you really want to get the same kind of blessing that he has, you'll be richly blessed. And let me tell you, he didn't have the luxury of going to a good university. Right? Ever since he has a dream at the age of 17, he was sold to Egypt because his brother hated him, right? In Genesis chapter 37, we see that, right? And he started working at the age of 17. He worked his way up. He didn't have a good education, but he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He had the word of God within his heart. He remembered the two dreams that God gave it to him, and he believed in it. So he's a man of faith. Joseph is a man of faith. Joseph is a man of love. How do I know your faith? Joseph is a man of faith. How do I know his faith is genuine? He demonstrates his faith by his love in action. Just like 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. Apostle John saying that we don't love one another by word or by tongue. We love one another by action and by truth. right? So he loved his father by obeying his father, by honoring his father, and it would do you a lot of good, according to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. Honor your parents, okay? For this is the right thing to do. It is good for you. You will live a long life, and you will be blessed by God. And that's exactly what happened to Joseph. And take a look. Gabriel, could you read that? Genesis chapter 50, 1 to 14. And that's how Joseph showed his love towards his father by obeying him.
Joseph threw himself upon his father and wept over him and kissed him. Then Joseph directed the physicians and his servants to embalm his father Israel. So the physicians embalmed him, taking a full 40 days, for that was the time required for him for embalming. And the Egyptians mourned for him 70 days. When the days of mourning had passed, Joseph said to Pharaoh's court, "If I have found favor in your eyes, speak to Pharaoh and tell him, 'My father made me swear an oath and said, I am about to die. Bury me in the tomb I dug for myself in the land of Canaan. Now let me go up and bury my father, then I will return.' Pharaoh said, 'Go up and bury your father, as he made you swear to do.' So Joseph went up to bury his father. All Pharaoh's officials accompanied him, the dignitaries of his court and all the dignitaries of Egypt, besides all the members of Joseph's household and his brothers and those belonging to his brother's household. Only their children and the flocks and herds were left in Joseph. Chariots and horsemen also went up with him. It was a very large company. When they reached the threshing floor of Ephrath near Jordan, they lamented loudly and bitterly. And there Joseph observed a 7-day period of mourning for his father. When the Canaanites who lived there saw the mourning and the threshing for Ephrath, they said, 'The Egyptians are holding a solemn ceremony of mourning. That is why that place near the Jordan is called Abel in Israel.' So Jacob's son did as he had commanded them. They carried him to the land of Canaan and buried him in the cave in the field of Machpelah near Mamre, which Abraham had bought as a burial place from Ephron the Hittite along with the field. After burying his father, Joseph returned to Egypt together with his brothers and all the others he had gone to bury his father."
Well, I think it's an honorable thing for Joseph to ask and to direct the physicians in his service to embalm his father Israel for 40 days after that, and then have 70 days of mourning for him. It is honorable to do that when Abraham, his forefather, and Isaac, his forefather, was dead. They wasn't embalmed. So I think embalming, from a human perspective, maybe there's a lot of honor. You know what I mean? Just like embalm a king, you know, like a pharaoh, right? From human perspective. But I look at the Bible, not just from the human perspective that Joseph honored his father by embalming him. I think more importantly is his father asked him to swear, in other words, ensure that he understand the seriousness of burying him, not in the place of Egypt, but in the place of Canaan, the promised land. You understand what I'm trying to say? You have a question?
How do you embalm somebody?
Oh, that I have no idea. If it takes 70, if it takes 40 days, you know, just like, have you ever been to Egypt? I have the when I was studying at New York Seminary, I took a course in Egypt and also in Israel and in Jordan too. So I have the luxury to go to Egypt at that time. At that time, Joyce was having a high fever, you know. So I went there. I see the one of the king's son. They were embalmed. So the body was preserved. You understand? Just like mummy, right? It was they're so good at that. I think embalming and not embalming from the faith point of view is not that important, because when we believe in Jesus Christ, and we will be resurrected anyway. You know, now we have a body, immortal body. Now we have a mortal body, and when we are resurrected, we will have an immortal body. We won't die. So embalming it is just want to preserve the body, but still a dead man. You understand what I'm trying to say? And besides, once they embalm, they put it in the pyramid. Joseph was putting his father in a pyramid. Pyramid is in Egypt. I even went down to the pyramid. It's just like a cooler, because it deep down. You know, if you have the opportunity, I think if you have the money, I think it's good to go to Egypt. You know, you'll be surprised. Egypt supposed to be the strongest nation in the world in those days. And because Israel rely on Egypt, and God saying that because my people, Israel, rely on human power, rely upon Egypt and depend on Egypt. So God say, I'm going to make Egypt the poorest nation, the weakest nation in the whole world. So nowadays, we hardly hear any news regarding Egypt other than the riot that's happening. Why there's a riot? Because there's no job, not enough food. They are poor. You understand what I'm trying to say? So when I look at the Bible, when I read it intensely, I find out what God predicted is fulfilled. And how can anyone say I predict that the United States will be the weakest people, will be the weakest nation in the whole world? You understand what I'm trying to say? Anyway, that is what happened. So that's why attracted me to read the Bible. I found out, wow, God can see things 1,000 years later. Right? So it attracted me to read it and understand it. So where are we? I forget my thought. So how do I embalm it? I don't know. Okay? So anyway, from human perspective, embalming, asking his physician to embalm his father, taking 40 days, from a human perspective, is really honoring his father. But that is not that very important, because Jacob, another name called Israel, will be resurrected anyway. You understand what I mean? Whether embalm or not, won't do any good. Okay? I think what is more important is Joseph loved his father in verse 1 to 14 by faith, because his father tell him that the land of Canaan is the promised land that God gave it to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because that land belongs to them. When they die, they want to be buried in the place that belongs to him. Jacob also know by learning it from his father Isaac. Isaac know by learning it from his father Abraham. Abraham know because God spoke to Abraham directly. That promised land, land of Canaan, belongs to you and your descendant forever. Okay? If that's the case, Abraham passed along that kind of blessing to Isaac. Isaac passed it to Jacob. Jacob passed it to Joseph. Now take a look. Father only passed it on to the firstborn, because firstborn is the one that his father loved, right? And Joseph wasn't the firstborn. But Joseph got the firstborn right, firstborn blessing. So Jacob pass it on to Joseph, right? Because he is a man of faith. He is a man of love. His faith is genuine because he loved his father by honoring his father. How do I say he honored his father? Not from human perspective, by embalming him for 40 days. No. By obeying his father's command, saying that I don't want to be buried in Egypt. Take a look at that. I want you to think about that. When Jacob died, Joseph is still in power in Egypt. Am I right? He's still in power. He has power and authority. He's second to the Pharaoh. You know, if he wants to bury his father, there's a lot of beautiful place in Egypt that he can bury. And other than that, if you want to bury your father in the land of Canaan, they don't take possession of the land of Canaan yet. They only use silver to purchase the cave for burying Abraham and his wife, Isaac and his wife, and Jacob and his wife, right? That's a tiny place. Why would you like to bury in a tiny place in a cave instead, and all your children's not around, you know what I mean? Because he knows that his descendant will stay in Egypt for how long? Right? Four generations? How many years? 400 years. So it's still a short time, right? But he believed in it. So he wants his children to swear that he's going to be buried in the land of Canaan, in that particular place that Abraham purchased with silver. He wanted to bury with his forefather because they know that they're going to be resurrected together. Okay? They have faith. They believe in it. But with their eyes, they don't take possessions of the land of Canaan yet. Why? Because God promised to give it to them, and yet the people living there have not yet sinned against God to the fullness. That means God hasn't kicked them out yet. God said, wait until they sin against me to the fullness, then I kick them out. Right? According to Genesis chapter 15. Okay, now, Jacob passed on God's promise to Joseph, and Joseph honored his father, loved his father, and believed in his father's word to him. That is God's word. He didn't think that it is just his father's will. It is God's will. So he believed in it. So he asked his court, and if I find favor in you, pass on my request to Pharaoh. See whether Pharaoh granted that request. You know what? I think even though Pharaoh stopped and said, I won't let you go to the land of Canaan and bury his father, you know what Joseph would do? Joseph, because he swore that already, Joseph going to embalm him and put him in a coffin and going to ask his descendant to what? To carry his father's bone to the land of Canaan. That's exactly what he did, right? Later on, right? So, you know what? If you are the man of faith, if you are the man of love, nothing can stop you. Not even Pharaoh. If you truly believe in it. Who said that when you die, you have to be buried in the ground? You can embalm it and put it in a coffin. You know? And later on, I bury it. Later on, right? Okay. Secondly, point number two. Genesis chapter 15, verse 15 to 20. You write down. First one, Genesis chapter 50, 1 to 14, you write down equal to Ephesians 6, 1 to 3. How do you love your parents? By honoring them, by obeying them. Especially when they say something that regarding God's word. You got to obey them. Because if Joseph obeyed Jacob, that means Joseph obeyed God. Right? Because God gave the promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And now Joseph believed in it and obeying his father, that means obey God. Okay? So, point number two, Genesis chapter 50, verse 15 to 20. Joshua, could you read that? And you write down equal to 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. Read that, Genesis chapter 50, 15 to 20.
is that what if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrong we did to him? So they sent a word to Joseph saying, your father left you instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father. And a message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. We are your slaves, they said. But Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. And he assured them and spoke kindly to them.
So right on top of verse 15, what is the subtitle that you have in your Bible? Joseph what?
Joseph's brothers afraid.
So that fellow, when he write that down, he doesn't understand. Because the emphasis wasn't his brothers afraid. His emphasis is demonstrate the attribute, the love of Joseph towards his brother. You understand what I'm trying to say? You know, his brother is not the subject. Okay? Joseph is the actor, okay? So I you write down, Joseph loved his brothers by faith. Okay? That's the whole point. So let me tell you, you know, the subtitle is not Bible. Subtitle is man interpretation. Okay? So I will change it. Joseph loved his brothers by faith. How do I know that he loved his brother? Because he showed kindness to his brother. And his brother said, saw that their father was dead, and they said, what if Joseph hold grudges against us and pay us back for all the wrong we did to him? So they sent word to Joseph saying, your father left this instruction before he died. He put his father's instruction before Joseph. And this is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers in the sins and the wrong they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God your father. When their message came to him, what happened to Joseph? Joseph wept. That means Joseph saying, you don't understand me. I love you, guy. And how come you still think that I hold grudges on you? You understand what I'm trying to say? Joseph. Who is Joseph? You write that down. Joseph wept. Right beside that, you write down. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Joseph was a new man. If any person in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed. The new has come. He didn't hold grudges. If he still hold grudges, he's an old man. Right? He forget that already. And how come he still remember that? You understand what I'm trying to say? Let me tell you one thing. When we sin against God on earth, we ask Him to forgive us, and He has already forgiven us already. You understand? He won't hold grudges against us anymore. Because Joseph lived in Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ lives in him. And when Joseph said to his brother, don't be afraid. Am I in place of God? Right? And you intended to do harm to me. But God intended it for good, to accomplish what was now being done. The saving of many lives. He knows God's will. He spoke like Jesus. Remember Jesus on the cross, what did he say? Forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Jesus praying for the sinner that who nailed him on the cross. Right? Jesus did not hold grudges. Did Joseph live like Jesus Christ in those days? Yes. He's a new creature. Could you read that, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17? So he loved his brother just like Jesus Christ loved his brother by faith. Because he know that their brother treated them really badly. They intended to harm him. But God intended for good. Intended it for good, okay, to accomplish what was now being done. The saving of many lives. Okay? Gabriel, could you read that? 5:17. The old has gone. He didn't hold any grudges on what his brother has done. So forgive your brother, right? He sometimes give you a hard time, right? Forgive him. Say that. Say that to him. I forgive you.
I said it to him.
You already said to him. Okay. Yeah, that's good. Shake hands. Shake hands. Good boy. Yeah, I like that. I like that. You know what I mean? What makes Joseph great? When he has the power to take revenge and he refused to do it. And the Bible says, he spoke kindly to him, kind word to them. You understand? He reassured them, don't worry, I won't hold grudges on you. Am I in place of God? Judgment is by God, not by me. But since he spoke kindly to them, since he lived in Christ, that means Jesus Christ forgave them also. Because they asked for forgiveness, right? Brother and sister, remember one thing. If you sin against God, make sure you ask for forgiveness. When you ask for forgiveness, our Lord Jesus Christ will not hold grudges on you. Right? Ask for forgiveness. Humble yourself and ask him to forgive you. And then you hear his reassurance to you and he spoke kindly to you. Okay? So, what makes him great? He forgives others. He forgets how the other people treat him so badly. And yet, he said, I will provide for you, and I will provide for your children. Right? He's good. Is he good? Has anyone treat you badly? Ling Pei? Have you ever been treated badly by someone in your lifetime? So, I would like you to say to God tonight, I forget it and I forgive them. All right? Give me five. When you forget it, when you forgive them, and God forget all your sins and forgive all your sins. Is it a good deal? All right. How about you, Alice? No one give you a hard time. Okay, you don't remember. That's good. All right. Point number 3. Genesis chapter 50, verse 22 to 26. Moses, will you please read? Miriam, will you read it for me? Your teacher. Yeah. Genesis chapter 50. Verse 22 to 26, point number 3, you write down Exodus chapter 20, verse 6. Oh, you get a cold, eh? Oh, come on, Moses, you should do that. What is that? Okay, do that. You do it. Protect your wife. Starting with 22.
Then Joseph made the Israelites swear an oath and said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up from this place. So Joseph died at the age of 110, and after they embalmed him, he was placed in a coffin.
So what did I say? I say write down Exodus chapter 20, verse 6. Chapter 20, verse 6 is the, let me read that to you. Exodus chapter 20, verse 6. But showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my command. Joseph is the one who loved God. And who loved God by his action, by obeying his command. On his deathbed, he reminded God's people. He wanted them to swear that they're not going to bury him in the land of Egypt. Joseph warned his brothers, his descendants, to embalm him and place him in a coffin in Egypt. When they leave Egypt, they have to carry the coffin and carry his bone all the way back to the land of Canaan. Point number 3, I say Joseph not only loved his father, loved his brothers, and he also loved his descendants after him. He loved the 12 tribes of Israel, and he loved their descendants. Joseph believed that if he loved God by obeying his command, God going to show his kindness, his love, his protection to 1,000 generations. Joseph know that his descendants going to stay there for 4 generations, for 400 years. The best way to remind them, you know what? It was the first generation for me to stay in Canada. Joyce is a second generation. But now Joyce doesn't know how to write Chinese. You know what I mean? Can you imagine Joyce's children? Joyce's children may not even speak Chinese, not to mention about writing it. In the fourth generation, Joyce's children. Oh, come on. Maybe speaking French. if French speaking Quebec to Quebec, get a job in Quebec, you know what I mean? So what I'm trying to say to you is, sometime we will forget our origin. No, I missed that. What do you say?
I said Gabriel's children might be Korean.
Will be Korean. There is a possibility, right? Maybe, yeah. You don't rule it out, right? Modem? Oh, you might have seen some. You have known something that I don't know. Now is the confession time. Now he's smiling so happily, you know. Oh yeah, yeah. Anyway. So Joseph loved his descendant by faith, because Joseph know that if he loved God and by obeying God's command, God will show his kindness, keep his promise until 1,000 generations. in order for his descendant to receive the same kind of blessing that Joseph received from God. So Joseph make a sign so that all of his descendants see that. You know what? Because in those days, everyone, when you die, you bury in the ground. You don't just embalm it and put it in the coffin. Can you imagine? I go, like today, I have a Bible study in Grand House, and then I see this box, assuming this is not a coffee table, assuming this is coffin, but I don't know is this coffin embalming something, right? I say, Grand, what is that, you know? He say, wow, that's Joseph's body. I say, why are you putting Joseph's body there? Then you use that opportunity, people asking that question, even your children asking that kind of question, because your children go to another house, and they don't see this kind of box inside their own house. None of it happened like that. Your children, by curiosity, when they were young, they got to ask the daddy, mommy, what happened? How come I go to that house? They got a box there. Because Joseph's body was there. He asked us to swear by that, not to bury them in the land of Egypt. When you leave Egypt, Exodus, make sure you take my bone. Right? Then give the chance and opportunity for your children to ask questions so that your children understand God's word. So every year, if you keep giving birth to a baby, you know, the baby will keep asking. You understand what I'm trying to say? Then you keep repeating the same story. That means keep reminding his own people that we only stay here in Egypt. Although we are rich and wealthy, we only stay here for what? For generation. 400 years. This place, doesn't matter how good it is. We are just sojourn. We are just a stranger. We are just alien. Okay? We don't stay here for long. And I think we should do that too. I don't know whether my daughter will do that, you know. Embalm me and put in a coffin inside the house, you know. People say, is there a treasure inside? He said, yeah, better than treasure, you know. Pastor John body inside, you know what I mean? Oh, man, you know. I don't know, at night, will you be afraid to come down to have a cup of coffee or whatever, you know? You know what I mean? So anyway, Joseph did that because he loved his people. He wanted to make sure his people remember that. We only stay here for a short period of time. Especially when you buy a big house, a beautiful house, and you think you're going to live here forever. You are dead wrong. We don't live here forever. We only live here a short period of time. When Jesus Christ comes back, we will be taken up to the heaven. Okay? Heaven is our place forever. We are just a sojourner. We just stay here temporarily. We are stranger on earth. We are alien, okay? We don't live here forever. And I think Joseph did a great, great job. He's a man of faith, right? He's a great man. When he has the power to take revenge, he didn't. Am I in the place of God? That's good. When God give you the power, give you the wealth, you don't exercise it. You withhold it and let God do what God wants to do. Wow, he's a great man. And Moses, spending 13 chapters from Genesis 37 all the way to 50, talk about Joseph. And I admire him. He done a great job. He loved his father by obeying his father. He loved his brother by forgiving them. No, don't hold any grudges. Sometimes if you don't hold grudges, but I say, I got nothing to do with you. And he say, he reassure them, I will provide for you and provide for your children. And he spoke kindly to them, right? That's good. Sometimes you don't hold grudges, but you distance yourself from that person. I want to have nothing to do with you. You know what I mean? And yet he overcome that. He liked Jesus Christ. And thirdly, he didn't get the blessing himself. He wanted his children after him, to get the same kind of blessing. Do we learn the lesson, good lesson from Joseph? Make sure you obey your parents, for this is the right thing to do. Make sure you love your brother and sister, although they sin against you. And you provide for them if you have the power. You understand what I'm trying to say? And for their children after them too. And make sure, whatever you do before you pass away, you do something that has impact to your own family and children after you. And that's what Joseph had done. Ask them to swear not to bury me in Egypt. Take my bone to the promised land. I want you to write down, right beside here, the last point. You write down Exodus chapter 13, 19. When Moses lived, Exodus chapter 13, 19. Joshua, you read that? When Moses took his people out of Egypt, what did Moses did? What did he do? Exodus 13:19. Could you read that?
Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the sons of Israel swear. He has said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones with you from this place.
And Moses remembered that. And Moses did it, right? Who is faithful? God is faithful. Joseph believed in God's faithfulness. Joseph believed in it. And God delivered his promise, fulfilled his promise. Lo and behold, they left Egypt. Isn't it a good story? It's a real story. And Joseph had that impact in his descendant. And God praised him in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. I want you to write down right beside here. You write down Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22. Gabriel, could you read that? 11:22. And what did he say? God will surely come to your aid. And then, you must carry my bone up from this place to the land of Canaan. He did it by faith. And let me tell you one thing. Whatever you do, if you don't do it by faith, has no eternal value. Whatever you hear God's promise, and you did it by faith, it has eternal value. It will be recorded in the book of Lamb. And when you will be judged at that time, God's going to open up the book, Gabriel, that's what you have done, and I'm going to richly reward you. He didn't say, wow, you embalmed your father 40 days, that's good stuff. Well, that's good. But not as good as obeying your parents. Does that make sense? How do you obey your parents in a practical sense? You obey your parents, you hear God's word through your parents, and then you pass it on to yourself, you put it into practice, and you pass it on to your children. You ask your children to remember that, because I want to see them all in heaven. I want you to also write it down in the third point, Acts chapter 16, 31. Believe in God, you and your entire household will be saved. You and your entire household, including what? Until 1,000 generations. You understand? Right? It depends how far you pass the word of God to your children and the children after you. With that covenant, it lasts for 4 generations. Make sure you leave something of eternal value to your children and children after you, so that they remember and pass it on to their children after them, so that they will be blessed. Carl, could you tell me what have you learned today in Joseph's life, so that we can put it into practice? We don't just study the Bible and be the hearer of God's word. We want to put it into practice. What have you learned? You know, Joseph is a busy man too, right? He could have said, you know, I'm busy. I don't have the time to, you know, to go up there. He mourned there for 7 days too, you know, go a long trip, right? It's dangerous too, you know, that place doesn't belong to them, you know, because somehow the Canaanite can come out and kill them all too, right? Anyway, he took the risk. He did what his father wanted him to do. Done a good job, right? Secondly, what have you learned? So he's not like Cain. Cain killed his brother Abel, right? Just the opposite, right? Can you see? Can you see at the beginning of Genesis? At the very beginning of Genesis, chapter 4, Cain killed Abel. At the end of Genesis, chapter 50, Joseph spoke kindly to his brother who mistreated him. Isn't it good? That's a good ending. So what have you learned?
2 Corinthians 5:17, how the love of his brother is Christ-like. That is God's will. That he's an initiation to God. And
So he's a man of self-control too, right? He's a powerful man, right? Hey, I forget to mention that. All these previous occasions that their brother throw themselves down and bow down before Joseph is, at that time they don't know that is Joseph. Now, they bow down saying that I'm your slave, I'm your servant. They know that this is my younger brother Joseph. Am I right? That's exactly what God said. Do you remember that? Okay. What else? Sometimes it's good for you yourself to be saved. But in God's sight, it's no good. Because he wants your children after you to be saved until 1,000 generation. Exodus chapter 20, verse what? Verse 6? Verse 7, right? It's 20 verse 6, right? Okay, that's good. So we pray. Our Heavenly Father, I give you thanks for giving us the Word of God. And that we can study it and memorize it. And I pray that you help us to love our own household. First of all, show our love, trust our father, our mother, and honor them by obeying them. For this is the right thing to do. It will do us good. And secondly, help us to love our brothers, whether younger or older, and sister, and help us to do that. And that's exactly what a godly man should do. Because by doing so, we obey Jesus' command by loving one another and by forgiving how other people mistreated us so badly and dirty, and help us to love our descendants after us so that we can leave a legacy, leave a sign for them to remember, so that they can put what we heard into practice, so that they receive the same kind of blessing as we are. And that is what God wants us to do. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.